Stephen Melching here, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0. Transformers!
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers version 2.0, episode 29. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is...
TFG1 Mike!
And Pecan Court Michael.
Holy freaking crap! It's the trio back together.
Yes.
Just like old times.
Let's hope there's no beastly commentary this time around.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
We have Megatron here, so.
What's up?
Not much, just getting stuff ready for TMNT week that we're going to be doing on GCR, getting stuff ready for Bond month next month as well, possibly making headway with some Transformers Prime interviews, possibly.
That would be interesting.
Yep. Looking at a certain female Autobot. So, what about you, Michael? What's been going on with you?
It did, yeah.
I'm looking at a certain female Autobot.
You're taking the low road already. That didn't take long.
No.
What about you, Michael? What's been going on with you? It's been a while since you've been on this show.
Yeah. You know, I was doing the Roll to the Rescue Bots thing with Aiden. And scheduling that has been difficult because we have all sorts of things going on. Like tonight, I had the boys in karate. Then I hung out for 2 hours after that. And you almost missed me because I was really tired and just almost ready to pass out. But instead, I've hung out to be with you.
Yay! You say it like it's a bad thing.
So
I could be doing so much better things like sleeping. But no, I'm here. But yeah, so I'm glad you guys called me up and had me hang out for a bit.
Yep.
If I fall asleep from exhaustion, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
That's all right. I've fallen asleep
Stop
plenty of times
Aiden
on you guys.
Kick your ass in karate. I mean.
And I've recorded a couple of Altered Geeks and a couple other random things and.
Those are turning out nice.
Thank you. Yes. I don't edit them. I have my friend Michael Powers editing them for me because I don't understand video programs other than Movie Maker. So
I see where the talent is then. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry.
I attributed it to you.
Yeah, I'm not taking the credit though, so.
Good.
But yeah, so I've been getting some decent comments on it and views, and then it's a fun little adventure that I was trying out, and it's panning out pretty well.
Cool.
So in Transformers there's been some actual noteworthy news, which is why there's another episode of this. Yes, we had the Transformers Prime Beast Hunters teaser trailer.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and you thought it was utter crap.
I thought it was crap. I mean, it's a teaser trailer. It's not
some crap.
It's crap. Thank you, Admiral Akbar. It's a crap. Now I'm gonna have that stuck in my head.
Damn it. It's a crap.
No, I watched the trailer, and you know, it's a little bit of footage of Optimus Prime and the Autobots, and yeah, and then there's kind of this amorphous kind of almost bestial tail thing moving, and what is that? It's a tail. Okay, great. It could be for anything. I mean, we're supposed to be introducing Beast Hunters, and we see 1/10 of some kind of mechanical beast. Well, that's not showing us much. And then they intersperse that with a bunch of stock footage we've already seen. That's stock footage from a new episode where they're fighting beasts, but just, you know, just regular old stuff we've already seen. I don't want to see that. I've already seen it. I mean, surprise me. Show me something really cool. If you're going to say, oh, look, we've got Beast Hunters, well, let's see Optimus Prime jumping off a bridge and wrapping his arms around the head of Predaking and saying, give me your face. You know, I mean, that would be cool. I would like to see that. But instead, we kind of get this weird, nebulous, not so much a trailer.
And no, that is not stock footage. That's new footage.
Well, okay, no, stock footage is like, okay, they're transforming. But, you know, it's standard footage.
Right. The transformation.
It's a few seconds that they pulled out of a regular episode is what I'm saying. It's not even a new episode we haven't seen yet. It's not even. If it is, it's not anything interesting.
I will bet you anything that this is from new footage because they're currently in production on season 3. Because season 2 wrapped up stuff months. I mean, the episode Legacy that David Sobolov is Shockwave in, episode 46 overall of the series, they did that back at BotCon last year. So, you know, the whole thing with Hardshell in season 2 with David K as Hardshell, David K posted about that in 2011, saying first time ever working with Peter Cullen, so awesome. And yeah, so season 2 has already been done. They're already in production on season 3. I guarantee you the transformation sequences of from robot to vehicle and back, those are probably stock. But the actual lines and footage that's in the trailer of the characters, that's brand new stuff, I'm betting. But, it has to be.
But is it interesting? Is it something I'm interested in seeing? No, it's not Optimus Prime shooting a beast in the face. That's what I want to see. Oh, Beast Hunters, great. It's Bumblebee pulling out the big guns covered in armor and just totally full-on nailing a beast monster of some sort. And maybe they only show the beast's head or, you know, they show it from, like, the neck up or something like that. They don't show the whole body. But not this in the dark, behind a smoke cloud, kind of weird tip of his tail moving in the dark. That's kind of bad. That's kind of not really. I mean, you're taking the term tease to its logical extreme at that point.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask you this before we let Steve chime in here. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have the term tease taken to its full and utmost potential, or would you rather have the entire plot of season 3 told to you in a 30-second trailer?
Well,
come on. Well, you can't have it both ways.
I at least want to explain to me, you know, what do you mean by Beast Hunters? They could have said something like, they could have had Optimus Prime going, the threat of Predaking is too big to ignore. And we're going to have to, and you know, they're going to have to join forces with Megatron and the Decepticons.
It's actually a Decepticon weapon developed by Shockwave.
Oh, and gotten out of hand, and they're going to have to join forces at some point to defeat it. But you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. So at least have Optimus Prime say, "We have the new faction now, and it's." Decepticon in origin, but they're going out on their own. They have a strong leader, and we have to armor up and get new weapons to defeat them. That's all they had to say. I didn't get that from the trailer. I had to, you know, read the press release to get that.
Steve, thoughts on the trailer?
I was fine with it, but it really doesn't show a whole lot.
Bingo.
True.
I mean, it's, I don't have a problem with it. I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it. Being that it is Beasts. So I am biased in that area. However, it still leaves me wanting to know what the heck they're planning on doing with it. There's yeah. there's a lot of directions they can take it, and if they don't do it just right, it's going to blow up in their faces.
Right.
Well, as soon as I saw, even without seeing the panel that we'll talk about, the New York Comic Con panel that just happened today, even without seeing that and seeing that the confirmation was the Predacons and Predaking and everything else, as soon as I saw that orange logo, I didn't think Predacons as in Beast Wars. I thought Predacons as in Predaking, and I was like,
G1.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
That would be a cool premise, but that's, I mean, yeah, when you think beast, it's like, well, an ox, a jaguar, a lion, an eagle. That would be cool.
Yeah.
In the appropriate colors, right? And you mentioned it already. Yeah, the New York Comic Con Transformers Prime panel, they showed some of the toys that are coming out.
Yep.
And I'm not getting a G1 Predacon and or Predaking vibe out of that.
Out of the toys, probably not, because the toys constantly rely on repaints and everything else.
Well, no, these are new toys. I mean, the beasts, that is. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, if anything, you know, you've got some G1 influences there that are interesting, and then again, you've got some Unicron trilogy influence there.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're going with this whole aligned continuity thing, and they want everything to line up and make sense. And
yeah, I buy that.
I'd rather have an aligned continuity than just erase 70 years of continuity.
Yeah, well, they're trying. I mean, they're trying. And like I said, the only good thing that came out of Energon was the Cyber Planet keys and introducing a Beast Planet and a Speed Planet. And each planet has its own key that you then have to combine in order to reawaken Primus. The animation was crap. The voice acting was crap. Everything was just crap. Except for that premise. That was an interesting plot point. And I'd like to see them explore that again. But you know, as Steve said, there's so many ways to do it wrong.
And again, we don't know if the cartoon is going to follow the toys or vice versa. So, like I said, if it's, you know, G1 colors, great. If it's not, fine. You know,
right.
I mean, I have always, you know, I've always been on the side of I cannot wait to see what they do next with that cartoon, because it, for me, just personally, the entire story just flows so well. Yes, I know there are certain things you can nitpick at and pick out and be like, what the fuck is this? Right. But the overall story of it all, it just flows really nicely to me.
Well, my biggest problem with season 2 is, again, we're rehashing stuff we've already seen before. It's like, oh, Orion Pax, hello, my old friend. Oh, look, it's Unicron. Good to see you again. So many times you've come back to visit, and you've worn out your welcome. Well, Unicron can never wear out his welcome. What I'm saying is, if you've done it before, try again. And now we've got something that we haven't seen before. You know, I'm thinking of like the canceled Jurassic Park line. You know, where you've got dinosaurs, and then you've got, you know, when you've made your umpteenth Dr. Grant figure. Now we start getting into dinosaur hunters, where it's kind of like a mix between G.I. Joe and Jurassic Park. And I'm thinking, well, that's a cool premise. That's really neat. And to think that they're doing that here, where you've got Autobots who are heavily armored and heavily armed, and they're fighting, I don't want to say dinosaurs, but you get the idea, giant monsters. That's a cool premise. That's going to look really neat. And little kids, my kids in particular, are going to eat that up. That is insane. You can't go wrong mixing trucks and robots. And you mix trucks and robots and dragons, you know, dinosaurs.
What about the monkeys?
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's a really cool idea. I like where it's going. I didn't like the trailer, but I see the potential in what could happen with the series.
Before we talk about the panel, we are this week we're at episode 49 overall, the series Inside Job for this week's airing. Two episodes away from that, in episode 51, Regeneration on TFW has an extended description. I'm actually going to read it. For those of you who don't want to know, because it could be spoilerish, either fast forward or don't listen. I don't know, whatever.
I can't fast forward.
Yeah, well, you'll be all right.
No!
But this might make a point for you, because I actually asked Stephen Melching about this. But
okay.
Here we go. The Autobots and Megatron's Decepticons are drawn into Cybertron to face each other in a heroic battle over their mutual quests for the coveted Omega Lock, which once unlocked will, with the four keys, would awaken the Primus power. Now, I actually asked, I don't know.
Hold it!
He didn't give me a straight answer, but I actually asked in the Stephen Melching interview, I said, a friend of ours is hoping with this whole Omega Key thing that Cybertron is not going to transform into Primus. And Stephen Melching just laughed at us. He's like, yeah, that kind of be a unique idea, I guess.
What? It would be a unique idea? Did he not watch that crappy Energon series? Because that's kind of what happened at the end of Energon.
All right, could there be a difference between Primus's power and actually Primus coming back to life and transforming out of Cybertron?
Maybe.
There could be a difference there.
I mean, there's a difference between Unicron and Unicron being the center of our planet and becoming a face volcano.
In your face!
Literally, it was a giant volcano with a face on it.
All right, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When, in Transformers history, have you ever seen Unicron done the way it was done in Prime?
Let me see. It's what is it? It's a giant planet monster that's defeated by the Matrix of Leadership. I almost said Triforce. Wow, where did that come from? Defeated
right,
by the Triforce.
He's not a separate planet. He's the core of a planet. You know,
he can't transform. So what good is he? No, I see your point. It was an interesting premise. It was done with a cool twist this time.
Yes.
But again, maybe a little too early to be dragging out the Unicron pony. But
honestly, I'm sick of Unicron. I'm so sick of seeing that guy show up in everything.
Yeah. After that crappy deluxe toy they put out a couple years ago, I just don't want to see him anymore.
I just felt like, all right, because I don't, I will never ever watch the Unicron trilogy.
Right.
I just won't. I didn't pay any attention to Rid. Not that I don't want to. I just didn't pay any attention.
Different
to
animal. Yeah.
Well, because, you know, that was a crappy Optimus Prime voice. you know.
Oh, man.
But from TFTM through to Beast Wars, I honestly felt let down that the Vok pulled one over on us. That was kind of crappy. Oh, we only used this Unicron head because we searched your databanks and that's what you would most likely be.
What would you be most afraid of? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a little bit of a ripoff. Even though I do love Beast Wars, that was a little bit of a ripoff. So, and thank God Animated never was able to touch Unicron.
I think Derek Wise specifically said they didn't want to do Unicron.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had the right idea. Like I said, I mean, unless you're willing to destroy the universe, don't bring Unicron into the picture.
Yeah. And see, I like the whole thing, and I understand why Steve's sick of it, but I like the whole premise in Prime of the core of the Earth is the most evilest thing in the universe.
And they defeated him like he was, you know, a knife to butter.
Well, it was an afterthought, and I think they really, honestly, I think they used Unicron as a means to an end to get Optimus Prime to revert back to Orion Pax so that they could introduce that storyline.
I have problems.
Alright. I guess Michael can talk about the toy aspect of it. I'm going to talk about the show aspect of the TFW panel coverage. We've got... Alright, so for the cartoon stuff that's coming up... let's see. They're talking about how to keep Prime so epic week after week. Not a lot of sleep. More you do, better it gets, etc., etc. Quiet, Peanut Gallery.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you snickered. I heard that.
Snickers?
Omega Keys... Omega Keys, Red Energon, Starscream talking to himself about having bargaining power. Villains video reel, Season 3 teaser video, Beast Hunters. Shockwave presents Megatron, his liege, the ultimate Autobot hunter. Dragon walks out. Everyone has a what-the-fuck look on their face in the scene. Huge. That was Predaking from yesterday, we assume. Did not show the dragon, just shadows and toenails. Beasts are
kinda
the Predacons.
Kind of like the teaser trailer.
Yep. I think that's the Season 3 teaser video. That's what was shown at New York Comic-Con. So, yeah. Beasts are the Predacons. They were Cybertron's dinosaurs, quote-unquote. Ancient race of Cybertronians wiped out in a great cataclysm. So, yeah, I'm really stoked. Spring 2013 can't get here fast enough.
Yeah.
Steve, thoughts?
I while I am excited to see what they do with this whole thing of the Beast Hunters and part of Season 3, I'm enthusiastic, but I'm not. If that makes any sense, because again, I don't see how this is going to work. It's going to be another one of those MacGuffins that they just, oh, how are we going to knock everybody's balls off this time? You know, the Matrix was a one-trick pony. Unicron was a one-trick pony. Then they switch gears to all these Prime relics, and then oh, now it's the Omega Locks. And I mean, there's really no common ground anywhere. And then you have Silas in there, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's gone too. You know, it's just it's like they're trying to, you know, throw too much of Transformers lore all into this one show. I can see if they wanted to flesh it out and focus on some of it more, but I mean, I think they're really missing the mark on some areas of it. While I do like the show a lot, I think that there's places that they could improve it.
I will buy that. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll buy anything for a dollar.
I'll buy that for a dollar. No, I mean, honestly, I think Steve's got the right idea. It's, you know, that was my big problem is they started off the show with zombie Transformers. And I'm thinking, wow, I can totally get behind this. And for a good two or three episodes, that's what it was. And then they changed gears and did something completely different. And I thought, well, what about... You know, what about the zombie Transformers? Because, oh, well, now we're going to talk about Dark Energon and how that relates to Unicron, so we can bring Unicron out, trot him out by the end of the season. And it's like, too soon. You know, no, let's focus on the story here. Let's not change gears just yet. I mean, I understand the audience is skewed a little young and the attention span's a little slow at that age, but I'm still interested in that, you know, zombies. I wanna know how that pans out. Do they all end up in a shopping mall with a bunch of cliff jumpers beating on the doors going, "Rawr, brains!" You know, I mean, come on, let's play this out to its logical conclusion.
But it just seems like they aren't... I do see what they're trying to attempt there, but I don't see how that's going to actually work if they, you know, keep changing gears like this.
Right. A worst case scenario, they introduce the Beast Hunters, and three episodes later, Predaking's defeated, and hey, let's go back to fighting Megatron. Because that's pretty much the status quo so far.
Well, Melching did tell us that in Season 3, status quo will be thrown out the window because of the fact that there's going to be a whole new setting. So,
you know what's going to happen? Beast Wars Megatron's going to come from the Abyss and just wipe them all out. And then he's going to stand over them.
You wish.
Actually, I'm expecting them to go down into the crust of Cybertron to defeat the beasts and discover Mini-Cons. Oh, Mini-Cons. Thousands of them. And they're going to make toys. Lots of toys.
This is not Armada.
It well, seems to be every Energon other generation. Either,
but there's a lot of Energon going on.
It seems to be every other generation so far.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, I'm really surprised they haven't tied Mini-Cons into the overall umbrella mythos yet.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
they've already
had
the Omega Locks and the Omega Keys. And
exactly. It's just a matter of time before they go, hey, look, Mini-Cons. Let's work that into the mythos. I mean, there's a lot of Mini-Cons.
My question would be, okay, who's going to fight? If status quo is out the window, who's going to fight Predaking if Predaking is the Predacons' combined form, obviously? Are they going to bring in the Dinobots? Are they going to bring in Superion? Are they going to, you know?
My guess is they're going to bring in the Dinobots. And they're not going to, as far as what I've been reading, that they're not actually going to have combiners. Predaking is going to be his own entity.
Yeah. Predaking is just the name of the dragon leader. He's kind of like the Scourge from the Beast Planet on Energon. In fact, there was a lot of people saying, oh, wouldn't it be cool if that dragon was named Scourge because, you know, that was Scourge. He was the dragon leader. Before he became the Nemesis Prime nickname.
See, I think that it would... With the current CGI that Prime is using, I think it would be cool if it was a combiner versus just the dragon's name being Predaking.
Well, that would be cool. Actually, I foresee, I'm going to call it now, I foresee in Japan the the Power Core combiner dinosaur set being repainted and merged into this line. Foresee it.
Never know.
That would be cool. I mean, honestly, that's probably one of the better combiners out of the Power Core combiner set. Or line, I should say.
So anything that interests you in the new toys coming up, Michael?
A couple of things. I mean, I just had a chance to sit down and look at the panel deck, the PowerPoint presentation they put up for the New York Comic Con 2012 panel, where they introduced the Beast Hunters, you know, what they're going to do with them. And again, the first thing that I saw that I really liked is the whole armored up aspect. You know, you've got these Autobots that are saying, we can't fight these beasts as is, you know, we're going to need bigger armor, bigger guns, and the figures reflect that, you know, and it's kind of, I know in Japan, you know, they have a version of Optimus Prime for the movie line where like the entire front end of the truck is like armored up and it's still the same old Optimus Prime, and that armor comes off and becomes like a big shield or something, but he looks really, really cool in vehicle mode because of all the armor. So now you've got a version of, Bumblebee with all this armor on him and a version of Wheeljack with extra armor. And they all have giant weapons that attach to them. Kind of like that last line of movie toys. What was it? The Mech Tech line, where the Mech Tech was these big ass weapons that sit on top of the vehicles. And I thought that was really just a bad idea. It looked really dumb. But now that it
depends on the vehicle. I mean, you know,
giant armored vehicles, it looks kind of cool. But like a Camaro with a giant gun on top of it, kind of dumb. But it works here. And then you've got the beasts. And the first one that I've seen the picture of here is Twin Strike, who, you know, tell me that's not G1 Center Twin.
Yeah.
Tell me he's not going to merge to form Abominus somehow. Because that would be cool. I could totally get behind that. But no, he's got, you know, he's yellow. He's got two dragon heads. He's got two tails. That's totally Sinner Twin. But yeah, the armored up bulkhead. Oh, he looks amazing, and he's got this giant axe. I mean, I'm totally behind it. I like the toys. I personally have been buying a lot of the toys lately. Again, picking some up on clearance here and there. Like Bumblebee, who's warming shelves at this point. But yeah, but these, I might actually have to come out of collecting retirement and get some of these, because they are just looking really, really cool. I'm actually trying to find some more of these beasts. Oh, yeah, like this picture here, I'm looking at the deluxe Bumblebee with the hawk bow. He is just covered in armor and covered in guns. And
I couldn't even tell who it was to begin with.
Oh my gosh. It's almost like a Cybertronian version of Bumblebee. Like, this is what he looked like before he came to Earth and got an Earth car mode. Because it doesn't even look like a Camaro anymore. But yeah. But it's cool like that. I mean, and having played Fall of Cybertron now solidly for the last month, this speaks to me. And it's not just the Autobot toys. We've also got a Soundwave here who doesn't look anything like a stealth, you know, stealth glider or whatever he was supposed to be before, a stealth drone jet. Now he's like covered in armor. It's almost like the difference between remember in the Beast Wars line where they had the shark, and then in Japan at least they remolded that into like a cyber shark, and the difference is striking, and it's almost the same here where you've got aerial drone and then big old armored aerial drone. And what's funny is he's also looks like from the picture he's also coming with his own minicon, which is something that they had only done in Japan. And now they're doing it here. So, interesting twist here. But, again, my point is, it's not just the Autobots. It's the Decepticons, too. Which is leading me to believe that in the storyline, we're going to find these beasts being created by Shockwave, running amok, starting their own faction, and now we end up with the Autobots and the Decepticons powering up to defeat them. And, you know, out of necessity, merging together as a single unit. But yeah, oh, this Wheeljack, the armored Wheeljack, he looks like a chainsaw with wheels. It's just so cool. One of these beasts here is called Laserback with a Toxic Strike Blaster. I mean, you can definitely see the, I want to say, late Beast Machines influence here. I mean, if you held this guy up next to R.I.D. Cerebus. Did they call him Cerebus? No, he wasn't called Cerebus. He was called Bruticus. But he looked like a Cerebus, right? I mean, you can see the similarities here. I mean, I don't want to say he's derived from, but, you know, there are similarities. And here, Voyager class Predaking. He's just a big dragon. It looks like he might even be a three-headed dragon. Yeah, look at that. He's a three-headed dragon. Tell me this is not Scourge. Oh, my gosh.
They are pulling from a lot of different aspects of Transformers.
Yeah, no, it's a cool concept. I like the way the toys, you know, I like the way they look. And the only caveat I might have is with beast modes. And again, with the problem with the Beast toys, especially Beast Wars, a lot of the Beast Wars toys, the earlier toys, the smaller ones, the basic classes, had all that spring-loaded stuff, so they would just pop open, and that was kind of cool. But as you get later on, like into the Transmetal, that type of thing, most of these toys transform by standing up. At most, maybe their hips swivel, you know, but for the most part, they stand up. And that's their transformation. I mean, you got to get the beast head out of the way, and you have to figure out how to get, you know, the weird jointed legs to stand up properly. But for the most part, that guy's going to stand up, and the robot head pops out, and he's transformed. And I've seen some pictures, you know, of the Voyager size Predaking underneath, you know, where someone actually held him up. And literally, underneath is a robot chest and a robot head. I mean, you're going to pull those wings back, and you're going to straighten out his legs and pull his arms up, and he's transformed. So if you can get past that, then, I mean, maybe they made him so articulated that he can do kung fu poses. Sure, that would be cool. That would be the only thing that would, you know, make me forgive such a crappy transformation on a Transformer. Especially a deluxe-sized Transformer, who should just be a little more difficult to transform than a Legends-class toy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, if you follow me. You know, Voyager class, give him lights, give him sound, give him something, but, you know, give me a little bit of challenge on trying to transform him. Don't make him stand up. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, you know, for a Voyager class.
It defeats the purpose of transforming them.
Well, and again, a lot of the beasts, the later Beast era toys were like that.
Well,
and
Beast Machines were. Beast Wars wasn't.
Well, no, I'm looking at my shelf here. I got a whole buttload of Beast Wars toys that do
that.
Well,
if you look at their basics, they you could pull the tails or whatever, and they'd flip open. I mean, that was pretty much it. But
no, the early basics, I said, yeah, they have the spring-loaded gimmicks. Those were cool. But later on, 2-3 years down the road, you know, you're looking at, who am I looking at? Like Sonar, you know, some of those basic classes, they just stood up. There was no transformation there. And pretty much anything on four legs, it's really hard to do anything but that. You know, they may get some kibble that pulls out of the way and, you know, sticks out at odd angles, but for the most part, they're just standing up.
Yeah,
anyway,
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, but, I mean, and that was a big criticism of that toy line at the time, but if you can get past that, it's still a cool premise. I'm hoping their beast modes are just chock full of ball joints and swivels, and they're going to be ultra poseable. And like I said, the kids are going to love it because you've got cars and robots and dragons.
Oh my!
And the thing that I've just been collecting recently, I should say my boys have been collecting recently, are the Creo figures, because they're all going on sale for half off. I thought they were ridiculously overpriced. I'm not going to pay $60 for a Lego Optimus Prime. You know, I'll pay $20 for a Lego Optimus Prime, but not $60. So when they went on extreme clearance, I picked up a bunch of them, and I dig them. I really do. My boys love Lego, and they love the not quite Lego. You know, and I think it's a cool premise, and I'll pick up as many of them for half off as I can. But that being said, the new Creo Transformer figures that are coming out. Not the current line that is kind of neat, but not the current line, but the Beast Hunters line that's coming out actually have Lego dragons.
Nice.
Which is cool. So, I mean, you've got Trail Cutter, and, you know, I don't like calling him Trail Cutter.
Trailbreaker.
You can look at him and go, that's Trailbreaker. It's pretty obvious, but yeah, it's Trail Cutter versus Grimwing. Grimwing being he's kind of a crappy Lego dinosaur. It's almost like, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Lego Star Wars line, but they have the little mini one, so it's like a little mini Millennium Falcon that you know, it's very, very small, very minimal. You can barely tell it's a Millennium Falcon. That's kind of what this is. It's a little tiny little dragon. It's, it looks like he's made out of about a dozen pieces. But, you know, down to basics, what we have is a Transformer versus a dragon. We've got a Wind Charger versus Korhadra, which Korhadra was the Beast Wars the second Cobra, only available in Japan. But here we have a Korhadra. It's again, really, really simple snake versus a Creon figure. But I mean, you know, they're probably going to sell this for less than $10. It's a Creon Wind Charger. You know, why not?
Yeah.
I like the premise. I'll probably buy more than one or two of these. I know my boys are going to want them all. But the thing that I'm most excited about is that Omega Supreme repaint. They took that Energon Omega Supreme, or the Omega Sentinel, if you will, and repainted him in G1 colors and gave him a new arm, that big gripper arm. And he looks amazing. I mean, he still looks like his body, you know, is still Energon Omega Supreme. But, wow, the new paint job, he's got a new head. He's just looking nine kinds of cool.
If I actually collected the toys, I'd want that.
Well, you know they're going to sell him for $50. He's going to be an expensive toy. But, I mean, I've got an Omega Supreme here. I've got an Omega Sentinel who's missing a couple pieces. Then I'm not going to replace him because he's like $200 on eBay. But, heck yeah, I'm totally going to buy that Omega Supreme. If I don't buy anything, any other Transformer for the rest of time, you know, that's going to be the one that I buy. In fact, it's just sad. I just passed on the Master Priest Thundercracker because he's $75. I was like, damn, it's a lot of money to spend on a toy.
Yeah,
especially now that I'm not really collecting anymore. You know, I've got the Master Priest Skywarp. I've got a Master Priest Starscream. I've got the bonus set where with his crown and his cape and his shoulders and everything. He looks really cool. But I could not pull the trigger on a $75 Masterpiece Thundercracker for some reason.
What about Soundwave? Are you not going to pull the trigger on Masterpiece Soundwave?
You know what? I might just buy the tapes.
I'd love to have the Soundwave and the tapes, but I can't afford that, obviously. So I'm...
Yeah.
But that would be one of the few that I'd actually want, just for the fact... And I'd like Starscream and, you know, some of these other ones, like, but I mean, it's, to me, it's not worth it. I have a Masterpiece 01 Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
It's just, that's pretty much the holy grail for me right there. Unless a Beast Wars figure were to come out for it or Beast Machines, then that's the only way I'm going to latch onto them.
Sadly, I highly doubt Takara is going to do Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Masterpieces.
You never know.
As cool as it, you know what? When we start looking at a 20th anniversary of Beast Wars, anything's possible.
True. Very true.
I mean, you saw what they did for the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
It was a very short-lived Shellformer line, but still, they put it out there.
Yeah.
And they actually gave them show-accurate colors and slight remolds for certain figures.
Well, Takara did a really nice job with their paint on those figures. That was epic.
And I liked what they did with the Megatron and Optimus Primal 2-pack.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I wish I would have bought it.
Oh, that was... Oh, I got one. I think I got two.
I have the original figures.
Yeah, no, the original were cool, but the repaints, you know, they...
they did them right.
They did them right. Yeah, no, they were really. In fact, I've got those on my desk over here. They're kind of falling off my desk and kind of hidden almost behind Fort Max here. But they're there, and I've got the box set up in the closet, the second one I bought. But you know, to digress, you know, they could possibly do something really cool for Beast Wars on the 20th anniversary, because you know, just like Transformers and G1 Transformers, you're going to have these kids that were young and just getting into it at that age, and they're going to be nostalgic for that stuff. You're already seeing Beast Wars the second, or is it Beast Wars Neo, being reissued out on DVD in Japan now.
Interesting.
And you're seeing, you know, people that grew up with like Energon and Armada and Cybertron, you know, most being fanatical about that at the cons. I mean, and they aren't even that old.
They're not that old yet, no.
But people are starting to actually not beat it with a shovel.
Well, I'm still going to beat it with a shovel.
I will too.
No, you know, Energon, I liked Energon.
I liked it at points.
I liked it, even with the kids in the show. I liked it because I really dug the minicons. They had some good vehicles and they had some crappy vehicles, but for the most part, they had a lot of minicons. And if you really dug minicons, you could get even more if you imported the repaints from Japan. And I got a lot of those too. And I was just totally into that. But then, you know, as we get into the next series, and by the time you get in that into, you know, Energon, that was just, woof, was that bad. That there was just, I couldn't even watch it all the way to the end. I mean, yeah, it was that bad.
I couldn't even watch it in reruns. I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, turn on Cartoon Network, ooh, Transformers, wait. This isn't the train. What the hell is this crap?
Yeah. Well, what really kept me going during that time was the they had the Universe line, where it was a lot of repaint. It was all repaints, but I really liked those because I dig repaints. And the Alternators line, which went on for a couple of years, on and off.
I will say that I am very glad that Masterpiece Soundwave is not a giant gift box set. I'm happy that they're releasing the cassettes in two packs, even though they're $60 a piece. I don't mind that because, well, I don't mind it because they're Masterpiece. They're larger. They're not like the tiny little G1 versions.
Oof.
And the reason why I'm glad that they're not all in one giant box is because the price on MP Soundwave himself would have been $300, you know. I will say, though, I'm glad that I got my pre-order in at BBTS on MP Soundwave before the price increase because of that dumbass Megatron gun.
I didn't even know how much it cost.
Okay, MP13 Soundwave, when I looked at it on BBTS for the very first time, it was at $169.99, which included Laserbeak. This past week, they sent me an email saying, hey, we're including a bonus Mega. It's the same Masterpiece mini Megatron gun that came with Starscream, that came with Optimus. It's the same damn accessory. There's no difference. It's Megatron transformed into gun mode that Soundwave can hold. We're including the Megatron mini gun, blah, 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 blah. Thank you for your pre-order, blah, 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 blah. I look on the website. The pre-order is now $184.99. It went up like $20-something dollars from when I first pre-ordered it.
Which is sick. That's a lot. I paid $65 for MP01 Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a good price.
I got it at Target. They had an entire wall of Prime.
Oh, okay. So not the Japanese one.
No. Oh. No, I got the original US release.
Yeah, I got the original US release, the Battle Damage one. And then I got the 20th anniversary DVD edition. He never left the package.
Yeah.
Chrissy got me MP04, which was the Japanese one with the trailer. Yeah, I got that one, and I wanted to get it signed, and I ended up not meeting Peter Cullen in person after that.
If I was going to get a Masterpiece Optimus, I would get MP10. The new one that's coming out of Toys R Us.
Well, you know, that's coming out in the U.S.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I would get that one because it's probably going to be the least expensive one.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, I've looked at MP04 on BBTS and other places. It's like $300-$400.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the MP10 is small.
It's the lost art of diecast construction. They don't have it.
It's a lost start. to digress there, I've already looked through the entire panel and described pretty much everything that caught my fancy. But I'm interested to see what they do with like a heavily armed Optimus Prime, or the same thing with Megatron. I mean, Megatron, he already looks like he's walking around in the big medieval suit of armor. You know, let alone if they pile more armor on top of him or give him different colors. What would really be cool, I know that we wouldn't see this in animated, but I wouldn't put it past Prime, is if they say, well, Megatron's got new armor and new weaponry, and now he's changed his name to Galvatron.
No, they would not do
that.
Oh,
they're totally going to do that. You know what? The Shockwave is going to say, this is my new creation, and Predaking is going to beat the ever-living snot out of Megatron, and they're going to call in Breakdown, or what's his name? the doctor.
Knockout.
They're going to call in Knockout, and he's going to go, oh my, you know, let's fix him. And they're going to give him his new armor and his new weapons and a new name. And he's going to be purple and black.
And he's going to sound like Leonard Nimoy.
Oh God, I hope not. Awesome. No, no, he still has to sound like Frank Welker.
It is my destiny.
No, you know what? It would be really funny is if they switched him so that it's Frank Welker, but now he's talking like Dr. Claw, because everyone knows that Dr. Claw is Frank Welker too.
I'll get you, Optimus Prime.
I know. It's like, oh,
next time, gadget.
Now your voice modulator is damaged. Oh my! How's that feel?
And then Megatron will start talking in beeps.
It beeps. That's right. Megatron will start talking in beeps, and then Dan Gilvezan will come back and reprise his role as while they fix Bumblebee's voice box.
What I find absolutely awesome and just hilarious is that George Takei is two wise old Transformers now. He was the voice of Yoketron in Animated, and he is now the voice of Alpha Trion in Prime.
You know, I like George Takei. He's got a cool voice, and I don't want to seem like racist by saying he should only voice old Japanese guys, you know. But that's what it's going to come across as. I don't like George Takei as Alpha Trion, and I was actually going to say another name first this escapes me. Galactus. I don't like him as Galactus.
Oh, I love him as Galactus in Superhero Squad. That's so awesome.
I said, you know what? This should not be him. You know what? Get Kevin Michael Richardson's and that deep-ass voice in there I am Galactus, and I'll eat everybody, you know? But
yeah, but Michael, you got to look at it this way. Superhero Squad is a comedy. It is meant to be funny. It is meant to make fun of the superhero genre.
But it's bad comedy.
Quiet, you. And the fact of, the fact of George Takei, Mr. playing Galactus. And I just watched the episode on Netflix where he comes back in season two and they distract him by having him eat this giant banana split planet. He's like, maraschino cherry, oh my. I just think that's hilarious.
All right, it's hilarious, but it's wrong.
It's not wrong it's with the tone of the show.
Oh, you know.
Anyways.
Yeah, Yoketron, dug it, loved it, you know, but again, old Japanese guy. this is terrible. I just sound bad, but no, you get my point. I didn't like it as Alpha Trion. I don't think Alpha Trion... I don't know. You know, I've been so wrong about Prime so far because honestly, I didn't like Wheeljack at first either because he wasn't G1 Wheeljack, and you know, and now that he's been on a recurring character and he keeps getting cooler, for lack of a better term, I'm starting to warm up to him too. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was being too hasty.
Yes, you are.
Now, I will say, despite all of the various flaws that Prime has from taking all the different shows, I will say that it is still very enjoyable. I still like watching it. I still like all the cool gear that they do happen to pull out of their ass every week. But I wish that they would find a theme and stick with it.
Right.
You know, if you're going to have zombies, have zombies. If you're going to have, you know, I understand that they aren't going to drag it through the whole series, but have it longer than a 5-episode arc and then jumping to something new.
Give us a season of zombies. Give us a season of Unicron.
Because, I mean, whatever happened to
that. Give us a season of Beast Hunters as opposed to three. And I'm telling you, 3 episodes in, boom, resolved. Because that's what they do.
I can almost agree that I think that's going to happen too.
I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know.
You're always wrong when it comes to Prime.
No, I'm not telling you. I've made several predictions tonight. 6 months from now, you're going to be like, "Wow, that Wilson, he's like Nostradamus."
No,
all that shit's coming true. I should have predicted everything in a riddle or a koan or something.
Because you should have done it like the Mayans.
Oh God!
In a giant circle calendar.
Yeah.
I predict that I don't know
the Autobots and Decepticons will string cheese.
Yeah, they'll have to combine forces to defeat the beasts. And how do I make that sound wise? do you think I could chisel that onto a giant circular stone plaque overnight? I don't know. I don't think that's gonna fly, man.
I will say just as kind of like a closing point here, and you know, even though I love the overall story of Prime, I will say there are a number of things that kind of irritate me so far in season two. What has really irritated me, although I understand why it had to happen, is Bulkhead's injuries left him super emo. And just having Kevin Michael Richardson's voice as Bulkhead be emo, just, I don't know, man. There's something wrong about that.
I liked it. I thought I don't want to say Bulkhead needed taken down a notch, but at the same time, it was nice to see him vulnerable, and it also gave an in to Smokescreen, who I kind of like as a character. Nolan North makes me giggle every damn time, and I like Smokescreen as a character. I'm not having the same trouble with Wheeljack as I did with Smokescreen, because Wheeljack was a very established character in G1. You knew who he was, you knew his place, you knew what he was supposed to sound like, whereas I honestly couldn't tell you what Wheeljack sounded like in G1.
You mean Smokescreen?
I'm sorry, yeah, I couldn't tell you what Smokescreen sounded like in G1. He was that car that had a Smokescreen, and that's all I remember. He really wasn't very prominent in the original cartoon, so I don't have that same attachment with him. But again, sports car, Nolan North, hot rod character all over again. I'll take it.
Now, before we go, before Steve's close this out, I want to address a couple of things. I commented on, I believe it was one of the news posts on TFW. I think it was about episode 52, Darkest Hour, the final episode for season 2. And I said, you know, because heaven forbid someone contact me on TFW saying, you can't promote your podcast here, blah, blah, blah. I posted on the news thread. I said, hey, you know, speaking of Darkest Hour, this very night we finished talking with one of the writers, Stephen Melching, and he said, yes, in fact, that's the name of the episode, and here's all the details, blah, blah, blah. Well, after that, TFW came back and said, hey, here's a news post with this other person getting credit and TFW and podcast getting credit. And it turned into, I don't know how long the thread is now, but the thread turned, by the time I stopped reading it, it was like 9, 10, 11, 12 pages. And there's so much stuff in that thread about, oh, well, I wish that they would kill this character. I wish they would kill this character. Why is Bulkhead cheating death? Why is Optimus cheating death? Blah, 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 blah. Do these people on TFW, these people commenting, and I'm not talking about anybody specific, I'm talking about the boards in general. Do these, some of these people on the TFW boards not realize if someone dies in Prime, they're dead. That's it. And it's like, why would you, like 7 people on that thread said, I want RC to die. Why? She's not a bad character.
How many times has Prime died? I've lost count. I don't think it's a good show unless Prime's died. So you
know. Shut up.
Technically, he did.
He died already.
He became Orion Pax.
Yeah, that's different from dying.
He still technically died. He lost his Optimus Prime persona.
Think of it as multiple personality disorder.
You would.
Shut up. This coming from someone who sounds like a purple dinosaur.
Which one?
The one with teeth. Talk about a hard suck.
You would know.
Oh, shut up.
That's what she said. I'll take the low road.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
All right. I think that's it this week, Steve, or this time around.
Yeah, I think otherwise we're going to drag it down a rat hole further than you've already dragged it.
Woohoo!
You candy ass.
Not as if we haven't been there before.
Yeah.
It's not as if people don't enjoy it anyway.
In case anybody's wondering about this, you need to go back and listen to the
Beast Unleashed, yeah.
There you go. And watch Beast Wars, watch Beast Machines, listen to our shows as you watch them, enjoy it as a package. You know, that's perhaps some of our finest hours in there.
Yes. And coming in 2016, there will be more finest hours that I will fill in Michael on after the episode.
If the Robo-Apocalypse didn't...
I'm always the last to know.
If the Robo-Apocalypse doesn't kill us first.
That's right. When the singularity hits, I'll know who to blame.
Damn it, Mike! Anyways, if you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. You can rate the show on iTunes. Be sure to give us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching GeekCast Radio Network. You can send us email at feedback@geekcastradio.com. My Twitter name is @SCP21. What are your Twitter names?
DFD1 Mike.
Mine is Pecan Court Michael, PECANCTMICHAEL.
MOUSE.
MOUSE.
That's an old joke.
It is. Yes. Again, yes. Go back. You got to go back and watch these shows, man. These old shows. We got gold going. You can go mine gold at the Geekcast Radio Network site.
We don't have to mine it. We can shit it.
Oh, God.
You know what?
He shit the guns out of his ass.
Oh, we're going way far back now. That's back in the TFG1 show. That comedy gold there too. Oh man, I tell you, I don't often like to, you know, talk about myself in such a way, but we were really funny.
I was
really funny. We had some really funny moments back then, and you know, if you haven't listened to those yet, do yourself a favor, go back into the archives and check those out.
Yep.
Yes, it's Autobotly times.
It's not very Autobotly.
Oh, God.
I know. You know, I actually used that word in one of my Roll to the Rescue Bots episodes.
I think I remember hearing it.
Yeah.
I felt pretty good about that. I like to bring back the classics.
Oh, we'll be doing that again soon.
Keep them in circulation, yeah.
So, I have been Steve Megatron Phillips, and you guys have been?
Steve, Jim, and Mike.
And P-Court. Hey, my name is Michael Wilson, everybody. How you doing?
Thank you for listening. Until next time. You got the touch. You got the power. You got the touch. You got the power.